Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we actually got two pointers out of the fork in the road. We started it and God took us off on another path. So he wanted me to take that. Holy Spirit said, go here, and I went there. And so we covered some areas that needed to be covered last week. But we're going to continue on this week on the same subject, the fork in the road. And this is where the Galatian church had received the Spirit by faith. But they had someone come along and they begin to teach something else. And they lost track of where they were supposed to be going. They was observing what Jesus had did. And then all of a sudden they wanted to go back and practice the law again. They want to go back and do those things that was in the law. And so I wanted to do tonight, one of the things that the author said is, writing the lesson, he said that one of the things that's going to help us understand about punishment and sin and those type of things is an understanding of the laws, that covenants that God made with the children of Israel. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to go in and look at some of the covenant, how God made covenant, and how what God said he was going to do in those covenant, who was responsible for the covenants, and how everyone should act. So let me start off by reading in what the lesson started in Galatians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul began to talk to the Galatians. And one of the things he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" And when we get here, one of the things that we are troubled in the body of Christ about, whether we should be operating in the law or whether we should be operating in the new covenant. And so if we're operating in the old covenant, that's where the sin aspect, and what we get here in the old covenant, we get that eye for an eye. That's part of the way the covenant operates. And if you commit a sin, then there was results, that was penalties for sin. There was things that you had to do because you committed a sin act. But again, like I say, Jesus came along and he changed that law. And one of the places that he gave it to us was in Romans chapter 8. If you go there, and when he made that statement, when the Apostle Paul, who was a great apostle, and again, you know, as we understand, I go back and I talk about the apostles, and the body itself is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So what we do, we go here in Romans 8, and this is what the scripture says. It says that he says, "There is now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death." So because the law of life in Christ Jesus, we have now been made free from the law of sin and death. That means that the law of sin and death covered the old covenant. Everything that was in the old covenant was considered the law of sin and death. And what we found out is that we could not do the law. God said they couldn't do the law. And because they could not do the law, had set up a new covenant with the people. He said in verse 3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness," see what we're talking about? We're talking about being righteous in the sight of God and being justified. We're going to hear words like righteousness. We're going to hear words like justified. And you know, we in order for to receive the promises of God, all the promises that God made to the children of Israel, because they was made righteous in the sight of God. It gets on to the point, the one who God originally made the promise to, and which was Abraham, God say he believed God. And because he believed God, you know, Jesus had not come. He was counted as righteous before God because he believed God. So that's how he got his righteousness. And so we say that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so that's, again, we are in a spiritual kingdom. We're not in a natural kingdom. And since we are in a spiritual kingdom, we have to understand that every time we are talking, we are not talking about a fleshly kingdom, our natural kingdom. We're talking about in the realm of the Spirit. That's why the scripture pops up in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So everything that we get, that's that foundation again. We go back and we look at that foundation, which is Christ Jesus, built up on that foundation. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. From Genesis to Malachi, there was that, all the prophets, all the books was telling us about what was going to happen when Jesus come. We got to the Gospels. Jesus came, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus came and he began to speak about the kingdom. We got past the books, the Gospels themselves. We got over in the epistles. Then the epistles went back to what Jesus had provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we have to understand that. We have to know that. And so he goes on. So he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're going to find out where in the Apostle Paul compared the old covenant to a fleshly covenant. We're going to find out that the new covenant is a spiritual covenant. We're going to find out also that God himself, he said he was going to make a new covenant. He prophesied it in the book of Jeremiah that he was going to create a new covenant. And he was going to write the laws up in that house. Turn to Jeremiah 31. We maybe have read this scripture, but we're going to look at it again. And I might be moving a little fast tonight because I know we are getting up to, I don't know, I think we're coming up to time for another exam. And so so I want to get at least some of this into you before the next section starts. So over here in Jeremiah chapter 31, and looking at verse 31, the Spirit of God said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. And said the Lord, he said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, he said, I will put my law in their inward parts, in their inner man. He says, and goes on saying, I will write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities. Watch what he say. This is God speaking himself. He say, and for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So it was not that they had to go in and do sacrifices or bring lambs or goats make sacrifice for sin. God said, when I make this new covenant, as we know that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he made that once sacrifice for all sin. And when he took that, this is the covenant that he was talking about, and that was the covenant with Jesus Christ. So let's go back and look at how God, when he started making the covenant, we can see some of the things. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. And this is the beginning when he first, after Adam had sinned and he found someone who would hear him and hear his voice, and he began to talk and they would begin to do what he said do. It's one thing for God to tell us to do something and we not do it. Then God can't get his plans and purposes in the earth realm. That's why when God speak to us or he tell us something to do, he want us to move at that time and not wait until, because once God tell us to do something, then God goes, he's constantly moving as our apostle. We can see as we watch him, he'll begin something, he'll tell us something we should be doing, and then he'll move on to the next thing. That's how God operates. God is never standing still. And so even in your personal lives, if God tell us to move this way, then we should, when he say move, when you may say make that move, then that's when we should make the move, because otherwise we might miss the move of God at that particular time. So here in Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, and this guy name was Abram at the time. We know we're going to find out that he's Abraham. It say, now the Lord has said unto Abram, he said, get thee out of that country. He had talked to his father before he did Abram. His father never moved. If you go back before this, his father never, he stayed right there where he was. God says, he could have did it there in his country that he was in. But he's telling him to get out from among his kindred and go to a place that I'm going to show you. It's just a form of obedience that Abram had to follow. He said, now the Lord said, verse 1, he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4 says, so Abram, when he heard it, he says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And so God said, that was a promise. God said, if you do this, I'm going to do this. He said, I'm going to bless you. He said, and I'm going to bless all those who bless you. And so when in a promise, what happens is the only thing you have to do is believe the promise. And when you believe the promise, you receive and act on that promise that God gave to you. And then then you receive what God told you he was going to give. So what Abram did, he went and he acted on that promise. So watch. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Beginning at verse 1, it says, and when Abram, that was the same Abram that he talked to some 15 years ago. I mean, God talked to him when he was 75. Now Abram has turned 90 years old. Now it's 15 years later. He may have talked to him during that time, but what we understand is he was just obedient to what God said, and he was just moving. God didn't tell him anything from the time he was 75 to the time he was 90 years old. So that's where in our lives sometimes God will tell us there's certain things he wants us to do, and we do that. And so what we do, we don't get ahead of God. We just stay with what God told us. If he tell you to go here, then that's what you do. You don't get up and uproot yourself, move to another place because you feel that, well, I've been at this place long enough, so I think I should go somewhere else. But when God tell you to do something, he promised him that he was going to bless him. He was going to bless those that blessed him, and he was going to curse anything or anybody that cursed them. And it says, and it goes on and says, and when Abram was 90 years old, and 99, he was actually 99 years old here. He said, the Lord appeared unto Abram. He came to him again, and he said unto him, he said, I am the Almighty God. So, can you imagine God coming out and speaking to you? I am the Almighty God. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So he go on, he adds to this covenant. Here's a man who's 99 years old, have no children, but God is making promises to him that things that he was going to do for him if he be obedient to what he tell him to do. And so the only thing Abram had to do is just follow what God told him. And so, you know, we find out in this section that even Sarah, when God came back to him again, she laughed at him because they know she, you know, she had passed the time that she could possibly have children. She had passed the age that she could possibly have children. And so when the angel came and told him again that it was going to come from their lungs, then she laughed. She, you know, and he asked her, he said, why are you laughing? You know, you don't think God can do this? Yeah, that's basically what he was saying. He said, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So now he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means, which is, every time someone calls his name now, they say he father of many nations, father of many nations. That's what Abraham represented, father of many nations. So they call him father of many nations. He's saying, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. You notice what how God is making this promise to Abraham. He said it's going to be an everlasting covenant. He said, and from it's going to be to you and your seed after thee for generations after generations, everlasting covenant. That means, you know, we know it, Abraham was not going to live everlasting. He wasn't going to live eternally. So he had to be finding someone who's going to follow what Abraham was doing and follow that covenant. He said, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in every generation. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And this uncircumcised man whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall also be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as far as Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but shall call her Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. See, God had made her, he told her, he said, I'll give her a son also of her. Here, Sarah's some 70 some years old here, and he telling her where the child is going to come from. And he goes on to say, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And she is 90 years old. And God is telling her that Sarah is going to bear him a child indeed. Because he had a child by Hagar, and which was Ishmael. And so he thought that Ishmael was going to be his seed. We're going to find out that Ishmael, In our lessons, in our studying, that Ishmael represents the old covenant, which is a fleshly covenant as we go through our lesson, and that this child that Sarah and Abraham had is going to be a spiritual child because it is a child of the promise. And God said, verse 19, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall be begot of him, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time, at this set time, in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And then what Abraham did, he took his kids and he took everybody in the house and he took the covenant and he made the covenant. Now, you say, how do we connect to this covenant? How are we part of this covenant? This promise, this is a promise covenant God made with Abraham. And this was before the old covenant was even established. Yeah, the old covenant was made when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he talked to God, and God cut this covenant with him. We come into the covenant by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So the same covenant that God made with Abraham is the same covenant that covenant of promise that he made with us. We are from the line of Abraham. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. And then I'm going to go back to I want you to connect this to it, and then we can go on forward with this understanding this covenant. Galatians chapter 3, looking at verse 29. Galatians 3 and 29, it says, the word of God says here, he said, and if you be Christ, which we are, it said, then are you Abraham's seed. It didn't say seeds, it say seed and heirs according to the promise. So we see that even though it was a covenant, it was a promise that God made to Abraham, and that same covenant that he made with him, he made that covenant, same covenant with us. He said, if you be Christ, which we are again, then are you Abraham's seeds and heirs. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. The word of God tells us that. And so we are heirs according to the promise. The same promise that God made to Abraham, he made to us also, because we are Christ. We are in Christ Jesus, and whatever he made for Christ Jesus, then we can receive those same promises. Let's look at another part of this covenant. We're going through the covenant here, and let's learn, turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. It said, in the third month, when the children of Israel was gone forth out of the land of Egypt, that's after they come through the Red Sea, they got to the Red Sea and God parted the sea, and they came on into the land that God had promised them. And so Pharaoh had drowned in the Red Sea, all of his army. It says, and gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. For they was departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mountain. And Moses went up into God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God gave Moses the words to speak to the children of Israel. So basically what he was the apostle of the time. He was hearing what heaven wanted on the earth. You notice who he called. He called the man who he had called to lead the people. And so since he was the apostle of the time, God spoke to him and told him what God wanted in the earth. He said, I want you to call the people. He said, and when you call them and bring them to me, he said, and you shall be a kingdom of priests. I think in First Peter, Peter said the exact same thing about us, that we're kings and priests. Turn to First Peter. Let's look over. I need to keep connected, keep here connected scriptures here and relate. See, this is a new kingdom. So he kept new covenant, but God kept, you know, he said something in the old, but he also brought things from the old to relate it to and bring us back to if we follow the new covenant that he made, then we would same thing he told the children of Israel when they came out of the bondage in Egypt. He came back and through Christ Jesus, he told us the same thing. He's in 1 Peter 2:9, he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So same thing he was telling them, if they follow his covenant and follow those things which he say do, he said, you would also, we are peculiar people. So we, and that's why when we hear the man of God tell us, he said, if we follow, if we know who we are, if we know we are sons of God and we operate in our kingdom of God according to knowledge and understanding and maturity, then we are the most powerful beings on the face of the earth, because who we are connected to and who we have on the inside of us. And he goes on. Let's go back to Exodus. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, he says, verse 7, let's go. And he said, and speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the Lord words of the people unto the Lord. So they say, whatever, you know, when you make a covenant, the covenant is between two people, and it goes so far as to, you know, when in the Eastern cultures, they understand covenant because they cut covenants in Eastern cultures. In the Western cultures, we don't understand covenants like they understand. They understand that when you cut a covenant with an individual, the only way you can get out of that covenant is by death. And so one of the covenant partners must die in order for that covenant to be covered. And so even it goes so far as when they take on each other's names when that covenant is cut. So you become, you know, it's the covenant itself is actually thicker than family relationships. That's how strong covenants are in the Eastern cultures. And so, and it goes on here saying in verse 9, he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the top of the Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up unto the mount or touch the borders of it. Whosoever touch the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not be a hand touch it, but the surely shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. when the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunder and lightnings and thick clouds up on the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire, and smoke thereon ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the mount, top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them shall perish. See, because they still was in their sin act. God cannot look up on sin act, on sin. And when you look up on unclean individual, that's when they it automatically dies. So that's why he said, don't come near this mountain. And so he began to set this covenant. In this, I'll make this covenant. We'll find out if we move over to verses over in 33-34, we find out that God began to write that covenant. He wrote the first covenant. When he wrote the first covenant, Moses was up in the mountain for so long until when he came down, the children of Israel had took a golden calf because they didn't think he was coming back. And when he was coming back, he found out they had took a calf and began to worship this calf rather than worship God. And so when he saw it, he broke the tablets that the stone, that the covenant, the commandments was on at that time. And so he had to go back again. If we get over in 34, and God began to give him some covenants, all these various covenants. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. And it goes on. He goes on. We call them the Ten Commandments. That was part of the law. But we also find out there was statutes, there was judgments, there was ordinances that was put in. And if you go through in Leviticus, I think they Leviticus outline all those statutes and all those ordinances. Ordinances was divine services that in the law that they had to perform. And so therefore, man could not possibly cover all these things. If you, the word of God say, if you follow the law, then we have to follow every part of that law. That means all the covenants, ordinances that they did, all the judgments that they did, they had to do those also. And so what God did, if we read through Exodus, we get over in verses 29 through 34, you can see some of the covenants that they made that they had to do. And there was absolutely no way that they could do all those various things. So let's turn to Hebrews again. And we are now back in the New Testament. Remember, the prophet Jeremiah prophesies. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm trying to keep the two together so we can see the old covenant and the part of the new covenant and who's responsible for what in the old in the covenants. In the old covenant, remember the people say, whatever God tell us to do, we're going to do. So they became responsible for whatever was in that covenant, whatever laws that was made in the covenant. They was responsible for keeping those laws, whatever ordinances that was put in those covenants. They was responsible for keeping those ordinances. So they had to follow it all the way through to the letter. So here it is that we get over in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 8. And we begin to talk about the high priest. Remember the high priest, if he went into the Holy of Holies, the whole priest went in with the sins of the people, with the sacrifices of the people to go in to atone for the sins of the people. He only went in once a year. And so at the end of the year, they see it. They had to go back and they remember those things that they did. And so here, beginning at verse Hebrews chapter 8, it says, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest," it's talking about Jesus, "who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle." He says, "which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if we were on the earth, he should not be a high priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." And so we don't offer sacrifice. We don't do sacrifices anymore. That's why we don't follow the law anymore. If you follow the law, we'll see it in Romans, that you had to follow all the ordinances of the law. And so so verse 5, it says, "who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, he said, he that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mountain." And again, God is very, when he got ready to make the tabernacle, God is very specific in how he wanted things done. And so we had Moses had to follow the instructions when he had to got ready to make the tabernacle. And when he told him he wanted the curtains made, he was given specific instructions how he wanted, even down to how he wanted the thread made, how he wanted the loops in the thread. We find out, you know, God is so specific in what he tell us to do until, and we have to follow those things to the letter. He goes on to say in verse, he says, verse 5, he says, "he served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee to thee in the mountain. And now had he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is a mediator of a better covenant," talking about Jesus, "he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first promise, that first covenant, had been faultless, then shall no place have been sought for the second." If the covenant that God brought, that Moses brought out of Mount Sinai had been perfect, then God would not have to have made another covenant. And when he made this covenant, he made it through what Jesus, through Jesus Christ. And so he said, if that first covenant had been perfect, God found out that they could not do that covenant. As I was reading in Galatians, He says, "a better covenant, which is was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then shall no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord." That's that prophecy prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, telling what was going to happen. He says, "days come, said the Lord, then will I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, said the Lord. But this is the covenant." This is the covenant we are living in now. And watch what it says. It says, "for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." He said, "I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." He said, "for I," watch who's talking here. God said, "for I will." See, this is when we say things like, with everything that God is going to do for us, he's already did it through Jesus Christ. It has already been provided for us. He didn't tell the people that that they had to do anything. That's why there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, he says, "for I will." and this is God speaking, will be merciful to their unrighteousness. You don't have to bring an animal to atone for your sins anymore. You don't have to bring those all those different various sacrifices that you had to make for the sin, because God is speaking. He said, in this covenant, he said, I'm going to do this. God said, I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So again, Jesus have atoned for every sin that we committed. And when once we made covenant and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we came into this new covenant. And when we came into this new covenant, God became responsible through Jesus Christ for everything, every sin act that we committed, both past sins, present sins, and future sins. So when we should act just like Jesus did when it comes to the sin act, and when we become accusers of individuals, and as we told you about in Galatians 6, that we who are spiritual should help restore those individuals to that their position. And that he said, a new covenant, he had made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to be banished away. And so the old covenant, we who are in the body of Christ, we operate in, many of us still trying to operate in the old covenant. And so that's why it was a fleshly covenant. And since it was a fleshly covenant, we couldn't do it anyway. We found out that God had to create a new covenant if he want to keep us close to him and bring us back into that relationship, into that where we was as we were in the Garden of Eden after Adam sinned, and he had to bring us back. He had to reconcile us back to him. And the only way he could do it was through that sinless lamb, which was Jesus Christ, which made that sacrifice once and for all for everyone. And all we had to do is believe and receive that which he provided for us through Jesus, and receive the promises and the covenant and walk in that covenant. So by right, we can always say we have a covenant with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. We are in this covenant. It's a better covenant with better promises. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Romans. And like I said, the Apostle Paul, he go in and he tried to explain throughout all of his epistles. He began to talk to the body of Christ, the churches, various churches in that was in Rome, in Galatia, in Ephesus, in Colossians, in Corinthians, all those various churches. And what he would do, when he get doctrine, he would find doctrine, he would write an epistle to these churches to make correction in the churches in the body of Christ. And many times he would tell that, if you send it to Ephesus, he would tell the church at Ephesus, make sure you read the letter to the brothers in Colossians. And he goes on right on through. I just want to cover this area right here. Say in Romans chapter 3, it say, now we know that what things soever the law said, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And what the word of God says is that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and he whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so he's saying that if you try to follow the law, then you have to follow all the law. I mean, I could have got into reading all those various ordinances, all those we call them divine ordinances. But and it, it some total, it was about 632 statutes and ordinances that they had to follow, different judgments that they had to follow. All these things was in the part of the law. And so if you try to follow the law, then you have to follow every phase of the law. You have to make those sacrifices just like they did in the law. And so what we're going to find out as we continue to study, the Apostle Paul, what happened to the Galatian church, and let me give you some pointers from my notes so I can have something to put on the test for you. And then the Apostle Paul, he said, when he asked him, he said, who bewitched you? He said, what is going on now? Who has deceived you? Who has allowed you to completely alter your belief system? They had, they were following Jesus. They was believing in Jesus Christ, but then they wanted to go back and start following the law again. And he goes on and said, then Apostle Paul diagnosed the problem. He said, you're trying to practice two covenants. He said, you're trying to practice the new covenant and the old covenant. And that's when he got to Galatians 3:1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Then in chapter 4, if we go to Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul distinguishes the two covenants. Remember, we talked about Ishmael and we talked about Isaac. And so he goes in here. And I want to get this in before this class ends. So I got a few minutes, and we're going to read that in Galatians chapter 4. I need to get this in. I started verse 19 and then I read through right on through the end of it to finish up this part of it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ be formed in you. He said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Bondmaid Hagar, free woman was Sarah. He said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That's that law of sin and death. He's making an allegory here. He's trying to show us the two covenants here. He said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he who of the free woman, which was Sarah, was born by promise, which things also are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than which hath an husband. And now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so is now. He's saying that we still people are still trying to follow the law. And if you're not following the law perfectly, then you cannot do the law. And if you go back and you see what's happening in the Middle East now, those children, the countries that's in the Middle East, that's Hagar's. That's the ones came from Ishmael. And they still haven't got that thing together yet, from all the way back to that time. We're still fighting. They're still fighting. They want to kill the Jews. They want to annihilate the Jews. So all this is going on, what's happening right now because of what happened here. He said, nevertheless, verse 30, he said, nevertheless, what says the scripture? He said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. He went over to Genesis and Sarah told Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. And God told him to do what the woman told him to do. So he said, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the sons of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So we are should be living in the new covenant and not according to the old covenant. And so the things that we do it because we are operating in the new covenant and not in the old covenant. I went through this part fast. I didn't get a chance to show you all the pointers in it, but it's enough to get you some information on the exam for next week. Father God, we thank you. We praise you, give you glory. And we thank you that, Father, we are no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, but we become doers of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. The exam will be, as always, on the quizzes that we had from the last exam. I won't go back past that exam. So all the quizzes that we had from the last exam up until the exam, that's where your exam will come from. If you study those quizzes, you already got the answers, so you should make 100. It's just that simple. Amen. Glory to God. So I'll see you in 2 weeks.